your great church, because you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you love soul. And it is an awesome tribute to have a humbly honor to be here in your church over there. Let's turn to Malachi chapter 1. You think, well, anybody's going to talk about money, turn to Malachi. But I'm going to talk to you today about how to give more money. I'm going to talk to you about how to have more money. The Lord spoke more about money than he did about heaven and hell. The way you handle money is much the way you live your life and your attitude towards God. And so we're going to take the time today. The purpose of money for us to spend it. And that is not necessarily the purpose of money. I mentioned Abraham, Joseph in Egypt, Job, David, and Solomon. They all have in common. They all have wealth. Many times they have wealth. But they all were the managers of what they had. It doesn't matter how much money you make. It matters how much you do. When I need service, I can't beg you to come. But I can promise you if you come, if you want to come, you'll have to need service. I'm going to get the mess in the best of finances. And we'll talk to you about how to get out of debt. 9.5 years, mortgage, how to lower your health and your mom, how to lower your taxes, and some of you may be have a little bit of money in your IRA or minor savings, or whatever, you have a little bit of money. And then I have money, you need to see me, and you share with me what's going on in our society today among people that have. I'll cut this list more money. No, it's the one that has money. I can sign up to say, you know, I have nothing to do today. But to me, 99 tomorrow and 99 on Tuesday. When I was a Baptist preacher, when I was a little boy, I prayed in 1955. I was 7 years old. I'm as old as Kurt, but anyway. So I was saved when I was 7, and my dad's from the Baptist Church from the ministry of Mark Wilson, Sunday school teacher. So, he had me to Sunday school, he gave me a quarterly and a Bible study. My translation was a girl, 5 or 13 years old. I preached my first sermon when I was 18 years old. The devil was a missionary, and I was an interpreter for my life. And I'm going to get you. I thought. And so then you pay Pastor Tim to come. I'll try to read through your Bible every month. And I got wrong. But you all try to read through your Bible every month. I said, well, I try to read my Bible once in a while in a month. I read the entire Bible in a month. And he did. So I said, I'm going to do that. And he said, well, 33 chapters. Okay. And it says, talk about one half hour. So by the first of the month, I started all day, 2.5 hours late at night when everybody else go to bed, I was reading the Bible. I was reading emotions or better with God or anything like that. So I did that month in and month out, the entire Bible. The entire Bible, 1 month. But so I started doing it. And then I did Bob University. And I learned about sanctification, reconciliation, and I learned about some technology, eschatology, and all this kind of work. Then I learned about hermeneutics, homiletics. I think that was a very helpful thing. And so, I've read a lot, thousands of times, and I've heard thousands of sermons by great preachers. I can give you things, impressions, but fill in the blank, the last 50 years, who is something great? of the Bible. I've been around those years, and I've been taught by them. And so, am I not the greatest, deepest doctor of truth I've ever heard preached? Can I share with you the deepest thing I've ever heard taught in the Bible, whether it's prophecy, or the doctrine of the theology, or the transcendence of God? Can I share with you the deepest thing I've ever heard in the Bible? Look at Malachi chapter 1, verse 31. This is God speaking to the prophet Malachi. I've ever heard since I've heard the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. This is God speaking. This is God speaking. God says, I love you. That's the Lord. Maybe you say, we're in the house of love. It's going to be self-dependent. Brother says, Lord, thy God. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest speaking things I've ever heard is that he does us read. As I know, the Bible tells me so, because the omnipotent God, as a sinner like me, he loves you. And so when you take church today, a little bit down, a little bit depressed, some of you lonely, some of you wish your marriage was better, some of you wish your finances were better, your children were better, your God, no matter what you're going through, today, the God listen, God talk. God is with you. God loves you. God wants to bless you in the world and all the hands. Well, I would like you to see the same focus from the Lord here as we look at our chapter. And I want God to speak to you in the Lord. God, you are the Father, and you are the Father. And those are the great opportunities in your family, in the heart of Christ. But it's not there in the midst of this room, but the gospel is going over again. And people in this city have never heard a true explanation of the gospel. It's not there in the room. It's going over again. It's something that we're going to help to lose it. God, I believe that you have such a good thing to do on your own. Thank you for pray, God, that you work in our hearts, Lord. I know that it's this time here. I know it's going to be God is going to be with you. Wait, it's a little different. I pray, Lord, today, that you have us focusing on God's goodness, Lord. And that you bless our homes, our marriages, our families, and our lives. And our lives, the rest of our lives, that you can. God bless us now. Anyone here, Lord, because of our personal sin, we're not sure we're going to go to heaven. I pray that as one walk down this aisle, I thank God for Jesus Christ and the Lord cross to save your soul. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Amen. So we just read chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, where God says, I love you. Just take your Bible over to 1. Chapter 3, and verse number 9. For exactly the same people that he just said, I want to bless you. I love you. Now in verse 9, he says to the same exact people, curse with a curse. For ye have loved me to eat my soul, and bring all tithes into the storehouse, and bring me meat in my house, and bring me now here, but say the Lord of hosts, I will not open the windows of heaven for you out of blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke and devour, God says, for your face, and you shall not destroy the fruit from the ground, and you shall your vine cast the fruit before the time of the field, said the Lord host, and all nations shall call you blessed, for they shall give you like some lamb, stand the Lord. So verse number 11 says that there's things that's devouring the fruit of our land. How much money do you make a month? How much of that money do you keep? It doesn't matter how much money you make, it matters how much you keep. And so one of the main differences in my counseling with you is help you to have more of what you make, and some of you have more than what you make. So if you want to do that, like, because you have more money, you'll be able to live a little bit more peacefully in life, and you'll have a safer, solid marriage, you might then be able to get more of the Lord's work. So, but let's follow me through on that here. It says, this passage, Jesus once says, I'm going to bless you. The word bless means to bestow prosperity, goodness, and joy. God wants to give you goodness, prosperity, and joy. That doesn't mean prosperity for the enemy. It just means he wants to add your father who wants to bless his children. He wants to bless you even more than he has. And I give God a million reasons not to love me. And then I'm going to change his mind. He loves me anyway. And he loves you anyway. And he can make a difference in your past. So wherever you are in your life right now, financially, in your home, or your marriage, or your children, you've got a bright future ahead of you. Now you're in the place of God's blessing. And if you do that, he will bless you. So why did the same verse number 9 your personal curse? Well, because they were, you know, in this passage of scripture specifically, it's talking about giving, giving unto the Lord. So the first thing, you want God to bless your finances, you need to at least tithe to the Lord. What God give you, gave you, send it to the Lord's house. How did take 9% that went over and multiplied? And then, you let God give you 2 dishes and 5 loaves of bread and multiply it and 5,000? But God can take 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread and feed 5,000 people in all the families. He certainly can take that left after you tithe, and you can multiply. Okay? And if you're not tithing, you have to think about that right now. Well, I can't believe it's not going to say that. Alright. Well, what happens to the vision? How come Christians get older and then they have financial problems, or they have marriage problems, or they have physical problems? What? A child of God, who God just says, I love you like that, why do we have to have all these problems that we have sometimes? Sometimes marriages don't work out, but they would. Sometimes the kids don't get raised right, and you thought they would. Sometimes the finances are not right. Why is that like that? Well, go down memory lane real quickly. Remember the children of Israel were in Egypt. The children of Israel were God's children. Now they're in Egypt. Egypt is a picture of the world they find living. Okay, so picture this. Living in Egypt as slaves, you and I are living here in America. This world that we live in keeps us under bondage many times. God says, I'm going to save you from the world through the Red Sea. So, you know the story in the Bible where God led them from Egypt to the Red Sea, which is a picture of typology of being saved from the world, being saved. And then he marched him on to the victorious Christian life. Remember, we got saved, and we thought, man, this is going to be great. I'm going to get saved, and I'm going to be able to pray, and I'm going to answer my prayers, and I'm going to have a 2-car garage, and I'm going to get married, and everything's going to be wonderful. How's that all work out for you? That's all this work like that does. And so they got to the promised land, which is a picture of typology of the victorious Christian life, and they put their faith down, and they started to plant their vineyards, and they started to change it. Well, they didn't have to change the world. They helped to feed the camp. They helped feed the camel, and they taught their kids at school, and then all of a sudden, Joshua says, okay, everybody else, we're going to march around Jericho sometime. Jericho, we're tired. We're getting older. I want to slow down. We're just marching around a city. What the heck is that? Just do it. So, okay. So they marched around Jericho. The walls fell down. We got, all right, can we go? Okay, we get back to work. That doesn't work. The food, my family's tired. I didn't know anyone. And all of a sudden, God says, okay, everybody up, we're going to go fight this Canaanite. That Canaanite, those people are the people we're going to fight with them. We're tired. Okay, we'll do it. So they went fight against Canaanite. And they came back, and they just, can we get back to our life now? I need to go to work. Okay, it's time for us to go fight the Syrians. The Assyrians, they're picking up. Okay. And so they came back, and they never, and they're tired. And then all of a sudden, okay, it's time to go fight the parasites or another. And so they went to that. And so pretty soon one of them said, hey, well, this wall has some pretty cool stuff. I'm not going to tell anybody, but when we were fighting this enemy, I bet something in the hat. Everybody knows that. I'm going to tell you what happened in my tent. Kennedy, so they put it in his tent, and all of a sudden the children then will start getting first. Now, come on, listen to this. Tell us the world has some pretty cool stuff. Now, doesn't it? Why this thing right here? This is a computer that has 2 principal power in it, and power on the computer. This is by email, this is you. This is Facebook. This is the. Okay, and so guess what happened? Oh, I forgot to tell you. You know, I don't know how soon this happened, though. The gospel just came up from a few of flat screen TVs. I don't know if you've ever seen it. But anybody heard about flat screen TVs? And so we fundamental Bible believing Christians, we don't love the world, but what's the Bible saying? Well, not the world. Things that are in the world. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, and the pride of the cloth. So we are tired after work, so we, at night, around dinner time, we turn on TV, and we sit down and we turn on the TV from the news. Oh my goodness, look what's happening to America! Oh my, what's wrong with this country? This is terrible! I can't believe what happened to our country! I don't know if our country would be like that! I can't believe all the sex addiction and the drug addiction and all the trouble and the trance. And the world, you know, you still are relatives on Facebook. Isn't that the funniest thing you've ever seen? Oh my goodness, what's this? Please come to town this back. This is a terrible. It's not funny. Did you see this on Netflix? I've never seen it. I didn't want it to know. Oh, much more than this country. I was talking about these things. And you and I spend so much time on the things of the world. And then we wonder, why did God answer our prayers? How come my marriage, or my health, or my finances are not any better than this? But you know who I have? Before you know it, we have missed a priority. God says, you expect me to answer your prayers about your finances and your husband. You have so much time to pray.
Thank you.
They're not sin. That's what we spend time and money on. It makes them sin. Why do you spend most of your time thinking about spending money on. I'm doing. That's really your God. God said, don't do that. Don't do that. I like what Mark 4:19 says, the word of God is like a seed when the cares of this world are blessed the riches and blessed are the things. So without the word, I need God sometimes bless my marriage, my whole life. Because I have substituted God for the things of this world. Here he would put it in Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. This message is very, very simple. How can I get God to bless me? My home, my children, my finances. All I want is to know, how can I be blessed? How can I have more money? How can I get God to bless me? Look, if you would, in Psalm chapter 1, the word blessed means to bestow prosperity in this book. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor standeth in the feet of scornful. But his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. The law that you meditate with daily and night. You want to be the result of a Christian meditating on the law of the Lord day and night. What's the best verse next? Verse 8? It says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That is, you making a meal at home. Or you going to work, or people you going to school, or taking a test, or senior citizens, your whatever you do in your life, whatever you do, it's going to prosper. Well, how's that going to prosper again? How's that going to happen? It's the man and woman that hides himself in the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible teaches us in Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God shall stand forever. The Bible says in Psalm 138, verse 2, I have magnified my word above my name. Magnified in God's mind, but his own name, his word, in the Bible. So therefore, I believe it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the only book that has ever been written where the author loves the reader. And he must find you in his word. The more you know his word, like his word, memorize his word, live his word, the more he will bless you. I'm not making this up. That's what it says right there. I mean, believe that saying that. Then what we need to do is kind of monitor how much time we spend on this stuff. And kind of put it down and say, well, I'm not going to spend any time on that until I spend more time in this, reading and studying and trying to learn and memorizing it. Where we've all shown young men sense his way by taking their two recorded platforms. With my whole heart and my soul, will let me not murmur to my commandments. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. What do I do as an old man? Do I have to get up a couple times during the night? Father, thou art my God, early when I sleep, my soul, and honor.
person for me, but I memorized scripture and I guess what happened? Bring upon the word of God. This word will bring a blessing, and this word will bring a conflict. We're going through a conflict right now, and he is bring a blessing. There was a man who decided, I'm going to start following the word of God like never before. I'm going to do it again, or I'm going to be here, playing your stuff until look at those things until we study the Bible. We all agree to that. We started following Dad. Whether, you know, Daddy was the leader of the home, sometimes emotions and sometimes the Bible. They followed Daddy because he wanted to take the Bible from the Bible. All of a sudden, his wife taps him on the shoulder. Honey, you follow us. Honey, it was good people are following us. He turned around and said, well, sweetheart, don't worry about them. That's your surely goodness and mercy that will follow us all the days of our lives, and we will come to the house of our bread. Well, my dear lovely wife, my love, she said, Steve didn't feel I found out that the word follow in that verse that's from Psalm chapter 43. Mercy will follow me. That word follow means to pursue. God says, I'm going to pursue you. Some of you are sick and tired of pursuing God because then he didn't ask your prayers. He didn't want to lie down and ask your prayers. Forget about that. Why don't you ask, why don't you seek God first and he will pursue you? He will follow you. He will pursue you as a hunter follows a deer. He will follow you and bless you. Hide yourself in the word of God. Isn't that what Joseph, what God did with Joseph down to Egypt? God came down to Egypt. God came and found you. Joseph, and then he blessed you. Isn't that what God did with David when David was in the caves? God came to David and blessed David. God pursued him. Isn't that what God did to Solomon? He found the sacrifice of the Lord. So God had four was in. God came to Solomon. Pursue him. And says, not only am I going to give you wisdom, but you didn't ask for yourself. Your prayer request was not for yourself, for your God and others. I'm going to not only give you wisdom, but give you hope. Isn't that what God did with Daniel? Remember our story about Daniel and the lion's den? God came with Daniel. Isn't that what Jonah's story is all about? Jonah was in the whale. God pursued Jonah. Isn't that what Shadrach and Meshach and goes all about? They were in the fire. God came. Wouldn't you like God to pursue you? God will pursue you. What a different thought than us always pursuing him in prayer. Let him pursue you as he finds you in his word. Point number one. Point number two, turn to Luke chapter 14. Chapter 14. How else can I get God to answer my prayers and bless me? I'm tired of finding us in God. But not, I think God might want to do. How can I get him to do that? Michael was here. Hold it down, I don't have to do that. Press on. So go to Luke chapter 14, good. And look at verse number 12. Chapter 14, and starting verse number 12. I have a little call, so. But when we meet tomorrow, you don't have to worry about me. Luke chapter 14 and verse number 12. This is Jesus, your Lord, speaking to his disciples every teaching moment where a man had a big dinner. He told how much people had this great big table. And Jesus said, look, don't go behind the table until he calls you. Stay in the back and let him tell you what you do. Well, as Jesus called him here to David, when thou makest a dinner, when you make a dinner or supper, don't go call your friends, or your brother, your kids, brother, or neighbors, because they also give thee again and recommend thee mainly. But when thou makest a feast, the Lord says in my mouth, call the poor people in the name that I am in the line. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Go and just invite people that are like you, that look like you, to go to your church, and in social, economic, whatever, educational, go find people that are not like you. purposely seek people that are not like you and go bless them. It doesn't necessarily mean give them money. It just means be a blessing and a help to them. Jesus says, if you go find the poor, the lame, the lame, the all the one, I will bless your prayer request. I will bless you. Everything about you, if you do that. Jesus is saying that to us today. What did Jesus do after he preached the gospel, after he was baptized, after he taught in the synagogue? What was he doing most of his life, the last 3 years? Well, he was going around, and he was going to a sycamore tree, and he saw Zacchaeus up there. And then he went to a little side street in Samaria where two blind people were. And then he saw in Samaria a well. And he stepped in waiting for the woman at the well. And Jesus went to a paralyzed man by a pool of water and healed him. He got out of his house and he didn't stay home because he realized that the world was full of people that were hurting. Ladies and gentlemen, in America today, every 11 minutes and 2 seconds, somebody takes a gun, puts it in their mouth, and blows their brains out. Or they take a knife and they cut their wrist. Or they take a bunch of drugs and overdose. I think in the history of America, are there more people committing suicide today than ever before? And the answer is, they have no hope. They see no hope. And Dr. Bob Jones says, when hope dies in a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. And the words are full of people that feel like they have no hope. I thought they had a little church up in Hammond, Indiana, many years ago. His name was Matt Hiles. He tells the story of a woman, an elderly lady in his church, who lost her husband, and her kids didn't call her. She was depressed, and she was lonely. So she came to the great doctor, that child, to counseling. And she sat down and said, I'm going to help you. And she told him that story. I'm depressed, I'm discouraged. I have dark thoughts. It's like, I lost my life. Okay, well, you're going to write this down, because she's trying to take her out of her hand. Now, let me write this down. Okay, well, I want you on Monday to go make some cookies and find someone you never met and give them those cookies. On Tuesday, I want you to make this cake. Find someone you don't know how to make that cake. And on Wednesday, I want you to make a pie. And someone, find someone to give them that pie. Write this down, come on. Dr. Hiles, I guess you didn't hear me. I'm depressed. I can't even get out of my house. I'm sorry, when you come here, you want me to go take things and give it away? I need some help. He said, now, Thursday, I want you to finish the entire week. Well, she said, you're the pastor. I'm doing what you asked me to do, but I don't understand this. He said, I have a few minutes to talk about this problem. He said, okay. She said, I'll be here. I'll be here. And so she left, and she went and did that. The next week on her plane, it was a long call away to the secretary saw her down the court hallway with somebody fighting her hand. And so she's not walking. She goes out for half an hour. And the secretary looked at his face. So she thought Dr. Hyde was close and said, how's he going to get laid with that? That has been done from the top. Don't worry about it. Said, or anything. He came in front of his desk and looked at the five at the end. Before we get started, I don't think so. I don't know what happened, but you know he told me to go raise a cookie stand with somebody? I started doing that and just playing it. And she just started talking. She told me about calling wrong stands. I prayed for her. She said, on Tuesday, you know that on Tuesday, they said, hey, and so I did the cake and gave it to someone assistant. And they just kept talking about all their problems. That's the thing, how many? How many problems? And then on Wednesday, you said, take a pie. And I did that. And Dr. Hyde, this is so excited. Can I get the ladies together and go to church and we'll have a baking thing and then after church, I think they're making food and I'm just going to go, no, give that. Can we do that, Dr. Hyde? He said, yeah, but slow down, just talk about it for a second. And I'll tell you about your problems. Problems? I don't have any problems with this. This isn't what I offer. I'm doing all problems. I need help. I want to talk to some more doctors. I want to talk to them. I know what they're doing. They're making some somebody help them by it. I'll feel when I need to be okay. So I said, okay, well, hi. I'm. That's why I was at church. I'm going to walk. So I'm for sure it is.
It said, my help, I can't confess for having left you last night, and I have 4 kids. I can barely work. I'm not a kid. Save yourself, happy you can. But before you go,
Here,
continuing to mourn for the whole full of water. He wants over to the end. The Bible says he put the wall down, he took the bow of the ground off, and the one that was about to go to the cross, he fell on his hands and his knees. He had one full of water, and he said, the answer is, the first 6 hours, dying on the cross, they're going to bury him. Jesus knew that the only hope for America, for the world, and to be Christian, is Christ in him. What hands does Christ have, save your hand? What feet does Christ have, save your feet? What mouth does Christ have, save your mouth? Every dime I spent on anything I have, in vain. But every dime I give to the Lord's work goes to the church open so a Sunday school teacher can tell, look, you're going to die and go to hell unless you ask Jesus in your heart. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tithing and offering to the Lord's this church. So one of the ways that you can be more blessed by God is to do those three things. Get back to the Lord and you just start praying. You have to leave the Bible on 3 days. Five years every day. You take the five verses. Just read the Word of God. God says, I'll bless you if you do it. Study it, memorize it, strive to do it. Number two, I want you to get out of your comfort zone because a lot of you in this room, I can go to your house, look in your living room, and I can tell you where the man sits. I can tell you where the woman sits. Got a pillow, and you're blanket, and she sits over on the couch in the corner. The man sits over here in the man's chair. Now, a lot of times, it's not the man's chair, but it's the chair. And they want the man's chair, well, but that's her chair. Well, I'm telling you, get out of your house. Go out and find people. Before you make your way to the hall, God will bless you. God bless you. By coming forward, let someone be helped for sure. That your name, your person, press the spirit, your finances, God and say, God, I accept prayers with you. Accept me. I want to make a good one. I want to make a